Well, hey there, I'm Eric Etheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. It's that time of the week once again. We are back for another episode of Prairie Beat.
That's Prairie Public's weekly news podcast. So, Danielle, what is on the beat?
Well, a couple of things. By now, folks have probably heard that the city of Fargo has a new police chief. I thought we could spend a few minutes looking at that.
Yeah, absolutely. Big deal. Fargo being North Dakota's largest population center and economic engine in the state, and certainly law enforcement stories from here do make the headlines from time to time, as we have been seeing over the last few years.
Indeed. So former chief Dave Zabolski left the department coming up on a couple of months ago now. He came to the Fargo Police Department toward the end of 2020, and during his tenure, Travis Stefanowicz served as assistant chief. So when Zabolski left, Stefanowicz stepped in as interim chief. And he has ultimately been chosen for the top job. As it would happen, he was chosen unanimously by the city commission on Monday, coming in with strong recommendations from the search committee as well. And they had a couple of other external applicants from before they were looking at who they ended up removing themselves from contention. So, yeah, Chief Stefanowicz is the guy. He sat down with reporters this week to break some ice and get to work in his new role.
Yeah, I know that you, Danielle, had the opportunity to sit down with him and ask him some questions yourself. The former chief had a bit of a microscope on him last year with some crime stories and some communication issues. Maybe some perception or misperception about safety in downtown Fargo, and also some facial recognition story. Well, so did Chief Stefanowicz have anything to say about that?
So I did ask him about that. Chief Zabolski was an external hire. He came to Fargo from Beloit, Wisconsin. Stefanowicz has been at the Fargo PD since 2002, and he has worked under four different chiefs. And he told me that that was an advantage for him because he's been able to cultivate a lot of relationships across the department over the years. He's learned a lot from different leadership styles. And so he has that understanding and familiarity of the community. And so the issues that have grown with and evolved with the police department and the community over the last quarter century or so.
I certainly have a lot of sleepless nights as I think about just many of the things, from basic things like staffing. How do we do more with less? There's a lot of things as it relates to that, but then you go out to the community and you've got a large group of people that really supports what we do, and then you've got another group of people that is always frustrated, and it almost seems as though we can do no right in their eyes. So just really focusing on those positive things and trying to do what we can about those things that are brought to our attention where maybe we're falling short.
Yeah, now I certainly see where that internal knowledge and understanding would be an asset as a new chief. Going back to those public perception issues, public trust issues, I mean, one case that comes to mind, of course, sort of alluded to that earlier, is the recent one of Angela Lips, the Tennessee grandmother who spent about 5 to 6 months in jail due to misidentification with AI software, and now the city of Fargo is looking at, of course, a lawsuit. Is this new chief up for things like this?
He said that he is, and I asked him about that.
There's opportunities for growth. There's opportunities to learn new ways. There's opportunities to increase collaboration between our law enforcement partners, increase communication. There's always opportunities for that. So I'm excited about those opportunities. I just see that there are many of them. There are certainly some difficult situations that we're going to have to deal with, and I understand that. And the community deserves to know about those difficult situations when it's time.
So, yeah, he basically says that will be a challenge for the department and the city. But he kept using that word opportunity, which seemed to me that, you know, he's acknowledging, yes, some negative things have happened, but it has to play out the way the law and the legal process dictates. But he says he's here to lead the department through that.
Well, at the very least, coming not only highly recommended, but unanimously approved. You think of the city council and the sort of diverse opinions, let's just say, on that particular panel. That is saying something. It certainly would appear that the powers that be in Fargo trust Chief Stefanowicz with this job. So we will see how that all goes. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure there's a honeymoon period, right? Always there is, but we'll see how it winds up being. Now, that can't be all that's happening around the region this week, Danielle. No way.
Absolutely not. So, yeah, this week I also got a chance to talk to Heidi Heitkamp. North Dakotans will recognize that name. She's a former state tax commissioner, attorney general. She ran for governor, and she also served one term as U.S. Senator for North Dakota. So she's in her current role. She's the director of agriculture at a specialty accounting firm called Alliant. And we talked about some tax schemes that are targeting farmers and small business owners. That story is currently up on our website that we did earlier this week. But when you have the chance to talk with Senator Heitkamp, you have to ask her about other things. I asked for her thoughts about the war in Iran.
Yeah, Senator Heitkamp is never short on opinions or even little quips that can make you laugh. It did with me years ago when she walked in for an interview with the late, great Doug Hamilton of Main Street. And Doug said, "Hey, how you doing, Senator?" And she said, "Living the dream, Doug, living the dream." And that's just kind of what you'll get with Heidi Heitkamp. She certainly is blunt in the North Dakota nice sort of way. Ah, yes, Strait of Hormuz, the war in Iran, it's all still going on. The straits are still closed, and that is what is contributing to those higher prices at the pump that we are all dealing with right now. And, of course, plenty of other things around the world that I'm sure she had an opinion about.
Yes, yeah, so I asked her her thoughts on the conflict, and she says she knows the president, of course, is very bullish on oil and fossil fuels, but a prolonged conflict in Iran may swing demand away from that.
And the oil industry understands that when prices get too high, people look for alternatives and people quit consuming. So when people say the oil industry loves $120 a barrel oil, well, maybe they're reaping some profits now, but they understand that that means that alternatives would become economically more viable.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So what is important to remember, too, is that what the oil industry really prefers is stability in prices because they like to count on those profits. They like to be able to properly calculate their returns on their investments while also paying their operating costs. And all that means consumers need to be buying the product. And the way things are going, I mean, it's already kind of heading out of that range or maybe even already out of that range, depending on who you talk to. And Heitkamp also mentioned that the effects of all this will take a long time to play out. The UAE leaving OPEC will have an effect. OPEC may eventually turn around and drive prices way down, which initially sounds great to all of us that like to put oil in our vehicles and whatnot. But then that has negative effects on American oil investments, drilling and refining, all that. And the uncertainty starts to spill out into all other industries, farming, transportation, the cost of everything that we buy will be driven up. Heitkamp also said she supported the original Iran nuclear deal, which, depending on who you talk to, you know, that was fairly controversial at the time. But she says now there's just no way to broker a deal that puts everyone in a better position when it comes to Iran developing nuclear weapons.
Once Trump backed out of the JCPOA, Iran started enriching again. It's kind of like if you said you're going to sell me your quarter of land and I start buying all my equipment and doing everything to basically start farming that land and you say, nope, just kidding. Now we're back to ground zero. You know, you aren't going to trust that person again.
Well, I think that's a pretty good comparison, especially since a lot of the effects from the Iran conflict are yet to be fully felt. I mean, we're feeling it a bit at the pumps, but the economy is still holding on. I still think that we, the consumer, should get some kind of award, maybe a Nobel in economics for keeping the economy afloat for this long. But there is always a lag time. It's going to take some time to recover from this. It's not a switch that you can flip back on. Even if the straits open up overnight, it's still going to be some time before we start feeling the economic return to normalcy, if you will. It just kind of feels like the White House and the cabinet are continually messaging and saying that things are going great. Nothing to see here. Never been better. But to bring it back to perception versus reality, we talked about that in regards to the Fargo Police Department and crime stats and reality in downtown Fargo. But it's kind of like that. I don't know. I mean, I'm not quite sure I believe that every time I fill up the car or get groceries that things are all that great.
Yeah, so she's not a fan of that messaging either, especially as far as rural America is concerned, because, you know, as a rule, most of us are driving everywhere ourselves. We drive to work, we drive to the store, we drive to church, everywhere.
You know, we're a little bit of a captive consumer as it relates to energy. And everything that I hear from this administration is It'll break. And the one thing I would say is this is a president who overpromises all the time. He's basically said the energy prices are not coming down before the midterms. And that tells you that he's been schooled to not overpromise because he will eat those words. If he said gas prices are going to go to, you know, you're going to see a 2 in the near term in front of that per gallon price, he's not said that.
Well, can't really say I like the sound of any of that. And, You know, I don't know about you, but if you have plans to do any kind of summer travel or travel next year around the holidays or even travel overseas where a lot of flights are already being canceled because of the high cost of fuel, good luck to you out there. That's all I'm saying. All right. That's the news business for this week. Thank you for all that, Danielle Webster.
Yeah, you bet. Be sure to tune in to Prairie Public for more news or check us out online at news.prairiepublic.org.
All right. That will do it for this week here on Prairie Beat. I am Eric Etheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.